This is CliffCentral.com. Pan-African Connect on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to the show. My name is Rosie Muthena, a.k.a. the Afro-Yiddish Princess. It is Monday. I'm back in town. The time is 5 minutes past three. Thank you to my show called Pan-African Connect, where I can connect to all beautiful people from across the continent, whether it be musicians, to artists, to politicians, to activists, but anyone who's doing anything fantastic on the African continent, I want to connect with them. This week's show, we're going to be turning to Nigeria, where I'm going to be chatting to the phenomenal singer, TV host. He's an actor, he's a TV presenter, voiceover artist, incredibly global brand. His name is Joseph Benjamin, and he's based in Lagos, Nigeria. But before we get into that interview, let's start the year on a new note with my new favorite song. It's a golden oldie, but it definitely represents what the show's about.
Keeping it real on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to the show. My name is Rosie Muthena, and this is my show called Pan-African Connect. That, of course, was Angelique Kidjo and Wombolombo, which is going to be one of our new theme songs because I think it definitely represents what the show is all about. As I said before the break, the show is all about connecting with people from across the continent, whether it's on food, decor, music, tradition, acting, entertainment, activists, anything that has anything and everyone that has to do with the African continent. And today we're focusing on Nigeria, particularly speaking to Joseph Benjamin, who's a TV presenter, he's a TV host, he's an actor, he's a voiceover artist, a singer. But before we reconnect to him, if you want to drop us a line, the number is 0861 555 189. Of course, I'm on Twitter and the Princess RTM, and of course on Instagram and Facebook. Joseph Benjamin, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Rosie. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. This is truly Pan-African. We got a woman in South Africa speaking to a Nigerian who happens to be in London at the moment. How was your trip there?
Yes. It's good. The weather is cold, but I like it. It's good.
Yeah. Let's start with your career and going back to when it all started. Did you grow up in a type of home where there were a lot of artisans, or you came from a musical background? What was your upbringing like?
Well, amazingly, there was nothing like that in my home. It's just that, you know, I know growing up, you know, my mom is someone who's listened to a lot of music, you know, so I grew up listening to a lot of music, her musical collection and stuff and all. And I always had a passion for this. You know, I was always drawn to this. It was not in the family line at all. It was just something that I just broke out in.
Yeah.
Pretty much of it. Yeah.
But I mean, whenever I speak to somebody from the continent, and especially people who are very, very successful, you know, majority of the African or the typical African home, when you mention you want to come home, you want to be a singer or an actor, always frowned upon. It's like, okay, so what are you going to do for your real job? Did you have that type of sentiment from your family, or did you have the support from day one when you said that you wanted to go into this line?
Well, the thing is, my mom has always been someone who is very particular about you being professional and all of that, you being comfortable and making sure that you've succeeded, you're successful in whatever it is you're doing.
Right.
I know back in the day then, you know, you wouldn't dare say you want to go into, you want to branch into the creative industry, because back then it was looked at, it was something for a bunch of serious people, you know.
Yeah.
But now it's something that is beginning to garner up a lot of prestige. It's beginning to get a lot of worldwide recognition, and also a lot of people are more open to that opinion of you, okay, being this and being part of it, you know. So my mom was a bit indifferent, you know. But the thing is, you know, from then on, I never knew that, you know, the passion will push me this far, you know.
Yeah,
so I just felt like, okay, it was just something I was passionate about, and okay, let me just be there, you know. But eventually, I didn't have to think, you know, how do things are, they just grew on me. So eventually, you know, I just found myself gradually getting in. It's just like, you know, stuff that is just creeping up on you, and before you know what's happening, eventually just totally takes over, you know. Yeah, so that's pretty much what it is.
Yeah, you definitely, when you get that bug, there's no matter what areas you try and turn to, it always just pulls you back.
Yeah, that's true. That is so true, sweetie. That's so true, you know.
And I
remember then, you know, my older brother, he's someone who was a bit passionate about the creative industry. Not as if he was actually branching into any particular sector. He just liked to listen to music, liked to hang around a lot of creative people. You know, he was someone I was actually drawing a lot of that from then, you know,
because
I was always looking up to him. His, you know, when they had gigs in school and stuff, he'd invite me and stuff, you know, and always was always proud to take me out, like, hey, this is my kid brother, and, you know, and I used to love to sing back then and stuff, you know. So the passion for music, you know, has always been there. So I used to love to sing, and he would take me around, hey, this is my kid brother, you know, come to him, blah, blah, and all of that, you know. And I didn't know that I was actually beginning, I was actually grooming what has turned out to be something great today, you know.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much what it is. So at the end of the day, you know, the good thing about it, the family plays a key role, because, you know, I've always had a very supportive and loving family.
It has helped me stand. Well, that's important, because especially in this industry, I mean, things can get really cold, and it's, you know, it's a lot of backstabbings, a lot of nail biting. So if you don't have that structure, you can lose yourself.
Honestly, the top is usually a lonely place if you're alone there.
Yeah.
It's actually a lonely place.
Most definitely. but computer literacy, I mean, you obtained a diploma in computer literacy. Have you used that at all in terms of your career, or was that just concrete?
No, amazingly, IT is still a part of me. I know I use that a bit, you know, but the passion for show business was always stepping in and stuff, you know. And I said, okay, fine, let me just keep this call and just go into my thing. But IT is still a major part of me, you know. Some people have asked me in the past, like, okay, if you were not acting or doing any of these things that are linked to show business now, what would you be doing? I said, I'd probably be a software engineer, software developer somewhere,
right.
You know, because IT is still a very huge part of me, you know. It's still there, it doesn't go. you know, it doesn't go. So it's something that I'm not, it's not taking a backseat. So I didn't just do it because I just wanted to get some concrete. I did because I like it, because I was passionate. I'm geeky like that. I'm someone who's very inquisitive. I like to push the limit. And, you know, that field is something that I've always wanted to be a part of.
Yeah. Well, at least it's something that, you know, you can fall back on. But before all of this, I mean, at the tender age of 12, you did your first film. Tales of Moonlight. Let's take it all the way back there.
Back.
How did this opportunity come about?
Well, it came from the early stages. You know, when I used to go for, I remember back in the day, then there was a production house then that was doing a lot of the major TV commercials and stuff, you know, so for a lot of this ad agency, you know. And then the MD of the production company then is an American, Lloyd Weaver. He took a liking to me, you know. He said, "This kid, you're quite talented, you know. You used to be, you know, so you always tell me to come around and see what is happening and stuff, you know. And whenever there's an audition, you know, and stuff, casting stuff, I go, I do, and all that." And like, I took quite a few gigs from there. And then the film transcended from there to, the day someone I saw, a producer for the Katie's folktale show, Tales of Moonlight. And, I told her, I said, "Okay, I grew up watching this thing, you know, it'll be really good being a part of it." And then she says to me, "Okay, come to this course, then NTA, of course, which had at that point was the largest network in Africa, you know, and this thing is well around across the NTA network." And so I then said, "Okay, come over." And I went to the TV station, I think a week later or so, and then she auditioned me and said, okay, you're good, come. And then,
weren't you nervous? Weren't you inquisitive? I mean, you know, I remember, like, at that age, I mean, I couldn't even speak to anybody that I didn't know. Were you not, was it not nerve-wracking as a kid, or did you just know that you would fit into that place?
Well, it's just a thing of you feeling like, okay, you know, I can do this thing. You believe in yourself, like, you know, even if, you know, age might be a barrier at the time, you know, but you're just believing in yourself that I can do this thing, and then, you know, and go forth and, you know, put your best foot forward, and you get the opportunity and you showcase it. That's pretty much what happened at that point. You know, I didn't believe, okay, I can do this now. Why don't I just go, you know, and I came and she did the script and I did it. You know, although I know back in the day, man, age used to be a really major issue. And people tell me when I go for auditions, that you're just fantastic. You are just so good, but you look too young for that character. I had a lot of that, but that didn't deter me. I just kept going on. I kept pushing.
the true trait of a true thespian or actor. You just pick yourself and keep on going. Doesn't matter what people tell you. But what was the character about? What was the character like? How did you get into character?
Well, for me then, because, okay, fine. Basically, what the story was about then, and what the show was about then. You have an old lady gather children around and tell them folk tales, right? And then from there you cut to where the stories are being acted out by people, you know, because we had the folk tales then, stories about, you know, of course the animal kingdom, but so we had people dressed up in those animal costumes like a lion, the elephant, and all of that stuff. And then you had human beings around who would also act alongside them. So I remember I acted in three episodes. One of them, I was a palace guard. I was a guard to the king in that particular story. The second one, I think I was a homeless child. And the third one, I can't really remember the third story. So that's pretty much what it is. It was something pretty much sweet that you could enter into, you know, something not too hard. And for me, I never believed anything was too hard. You know, I just thought, okay, come on, you can give me an opportunity to do it, you know. And of course, it made me a star instantly in my neighborhood. Neighborhood then, I was really popular. And I remember then going back home, and I remember that the particular day the first episode aired, like, you know, people in my neighborhood were like, "Oh, girl, we saw you on TV, we saw you on TV." I'm like,
You were getting into the fame at an early age, even before puberty struck. It was hitting you, baby.
Yeah, she was. And I felt really good. It felt really good. I'm like, okay, now this is awesome. Let's keep it going. And that's how the journey just started.
Yeah. And growing up, I mean, did you have any friends who and even now, like any childhood friends who wanted to get into the industry and have also succeeded, or have you all just gone your different avenues?
Well, growing up then, I know I had a few friends who wanted to, but they didn't have that they didn't have the patience, you know. They didn't persevere.
Yeah.
And then, because it was not very encouraging then, you know, they persevere. I was a bit discouraged myself, but I didn't let that deter me. I kept going, you know. And then coming, going forward now, fast tracking to now, or like maybe like a few years ago, I still had a few friends who wanted to, you know, get into it as well. I remember then we all used to model together, you know, and stuff, you know, and a lot of them then used to say, hey, I want to do this. And I had a few who actually went ahead of me, but they dropped out now, you know, like you know, it's kind of like, you know, just pulled out and like say, oh, come on, man, this is not for me. Yeah. Like, you know, going back to probably a regular professional life and all of that. So right now, you know, that's it. So right now, if I look through my pool of friends, not really, I can't pin out. None of them went the whole mile.
Yeah.
None of them went the whole mile, no. Yeah. And when I see a lot of them these days now, they tell me, wow, Joseph, we're so proud of you, dude. We know how. Now, you're a true test of the fact that, look, waiting and pushing perseverance pays. Because, dude, man, we know how we used to go for this thing, but you kept going, man. Yeah. Look at you today. And I'm like, dude, that is it.
Yeah.
You know?
Modeling. Yeah. But did you, I mean, how much modeling have you done? Because from the rest of the continent looking on, in terms of like the African faith, the face of Africa and all of those different pageants, I was always just focused on the female. Did you get into the modeling industry? What does the modeling industry like in Nigeria?
It's really growing. It's not where it used to be. But then I remember we were doing a lot more press and TV commercials, because runway modeling then wasn't very big.
Right.
It wasn't as big as it is now. You know, they didn't have a lot of designers, you know. It was, you know, the fashion industry, you know, was still growing.
Yeah.
You know, then. So pretty much it was more of doing press, you know, outdoor advertising for brands and then TV commercials, you know. So I'd say we didn't really do a lot of what's it called, runway, you know, because there was not really much there to push for.
Yeah.
So that's it.
Okay.
But now it is really growing. It's really booming because the fashion industry is just growing. It just keeps growing. So, of course, there's a need. There's a constant need for models, you know, to showcase their collections and stuff and all of that. So it's something that is very good. And I know quite a few of them from that business have actually switched. A lot of them have had international deals through that and all of that, which is something very laudable.
Yeah. But talking about the fashion industry, I mean, one of the things that really intrigued me in my first visit to West Africa, and it intrigued me because South Africans' fashion, now it's moving towards what's local and picking up on our traditions and that type and our own fabrics. But back then we were very, very westernized. And what I loved about West African fashion was that it enforced Nigerian tradition, culture, African. Has that still stayed the same, or is a lot of the fashion styles moved towards the West?
Well, what we have now is, you know, it's a mix of both. You know, it's trying to stay relevant with the Western market, but maintaining your roots is what it is we have now.
Yeah.
You know, because we have a lot of our designs that come from our African fabrics, and you know, and a lot of designs right now are inspired by our culture, inspired by our style, you know, but still would maintain that stint of the Western feel so that you can appeal to the Western market. And if you see now, even the Western market is even gradually being influenced by the African designs. Because lately, I've been seeing a lot of them, because we have this fabric here called Ankara, you know, and lately I've been seeing a lot of this Western design, you know, being inspired by that fabric, you know, to use that fabric, you know, for few of the designs here and there, you know, which is really good. So the thing is a mix of both, you know, appealing to the Western market, but maintaining our African roots, because knowing that, look, that is what sets you apart, that is what makes you distinct, because you cannot compete with the Western market. They designed this thing, you know, they designed the game. So if you want to be relevant in the game, you should come with your own style. You should come with your own identity.
Yeah.
Get it? And yes, and then it makes you stand out.
Yeah.
You know, because if you come and try to be like them or try to outwork them, you fail at it, because hey, it's their game.
Yeah, and also it's best to shine in what you know, you know, and carry your weight forward. How would you describe your dress sense? If somebody were to say, well, you know, I want to design for you, who are you? How do we design around you?
Well, how would I describe my dress then?
Mm.
I am me. I've constantly been an advocate for less is more.
Mm-hmm.
I try to stay comfortable. You know, I don't necessarily go with trends, you know, always. I just try to put on whatever I know, whatever feels good. I have stylists who put stuff together for me most times when I have events or I have a show that I need to be on for an extended period, you know, I'll have my stylist to work on my wardrobe.
Right.
But for me, on a daily basis, for events and stuff, for me, I like to keep it simple, because hey, I found out that my brand, my kind of person, I don't have to put too much effort to look good in whatever it is I do.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you know, less effort and I make a mark. You know, that's the kind of person in my mind. Simplicity is the key for me. Less is more, as long as it feels comfortable. And doesn't necessarily have to go with trends. But if that particular thing is inspired by the trends of today, fine. No, but it's not like that is the... Not like that is the focus, you know.
Right. You're not going to be dying for a specific fashion trend. That's good to hear.
Not at all. As long as I'm comfortable in what it is I'm in, then I'm good.
Yeah. Before we go on, I want next to talk about your singing and of course your major break on the MTN Project Fame. But before we get into that, I just want our listeners to take a listen to this. Hold on for the.
On a perfect day, I know that I can count on you. Uh-huh. When that's not possible, tell me, can you weather the storm? Uh-huh. 'Cause I need somebody who will stand by. Through the good times and bad times, you will always be right there, sunny days. Everybody has them. Tell me, baby, can you stand the rain? Oh, yeah.
presents the glorious musical comedy Singing in the Rain. Direct from a sellout London West End season, this five-star production will leave you with a song in your heart and a smile on your face. With spectacular dancing and raining live on stage, Singing in the Rain showers you with everything you could wish for in a hit musical. Now on at Monte Cassino, only until March 13. Singing in the Rain, book now.
CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to the show. The time is now 15:29. I hear him laughing in the background. For those of you just tuned in before the break, we had Mr. Joseph Benjamin singing live at the MTN Project Fame West Africa. Come on, I had to play that sultry voice. You're not in the studio with me, so come on, humor me a bit. that was a live performance for our listeners. That was a live performance which I played you, and that was season six. But you actually got your break early on in season two, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I actually got my major break from Project Fame. When my biggest break, you know, in the industry was getting the hosting gig for Project Fame, which I have been doing now for 7 years.
Yeah.
You know? So, and that has actually opened all the doors, you know. So it's been an amazing experience for me so far. You know, it's been amazing, and I'm running to, you know, and be a part of the making of a lot of amazing talents, you know, and stuff. You know, the likes of Nyaya came out from Project Fame.
Oh, wow.
You know, he won the Amazing Edition of Project Fame. You know, Praise is from that same season. Chidima is from that same season. I actually even when I speak Chidima today, Blossom, she was like this very nerdy, quiet, calm girl who just came into the show, and she eventually won the show, and today she's become something else. So when I see that, it's been an amazing experience for me to be a part of all the show.
Now, for those listeners who don't know what Project Fame is, it's a show which basically highlights when people can come in. Is it just singing talent, or is it across the board? I'm saying, is it just singing talent, or is it talent from acting, just singing?
No, just a singing talent. You know, the thing is, the Amazing Edition of Project Fame happened in South Africa. Mm. I remember Dare was part of that Amazing Edition of Project Fame.
Yeah.
Dare, was it Lindiwe in there? I think it was Lindiwe. There was Dare. Mm. There was, very first edition I ever watched was from South Africa, which had Dari. This was years ago. So it's just a singing, it's a reality for singing. It's not a cross border, it's just for singing, you know, and there's an academy that has a principal, a music director, a vocal coach, and a dance instructor. So you guys go through 10 weeks of mentoring, through 10 weeks of training to put them in place and, you know, help them become stars, you know. Yeah. So they learn, and you can actually follow through with their progress from the day they get into the academy up until probably when they get to leave the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you see there's progress. So I dare say, not because I host the show, but it's the most successful show so far. It's the most intense and impacting show so far.
Mm. And I suppose it also just opens up for those who have an idea if they want to get into the industry, but it gives you, a realistic appeal to what it's actually like out there, at least close to it.
Yeah.
So it's the long hours. It's rehearsal after rehearsal after rehearsal.
Yeah.
You know, it's that dedication.
Yeah. Takes a lot of that. It takes a lot of that. So you understand the game, you understand the business before you get in there.
Mm.
And a good thing about it is, this guy, you're connected to live music. So it's not like, 'cause this day, what we have now is more about the fame as opposed to understanding the understanding the fullness of what music is about.
Yeah.
It's deeper than what we have today. It goes beyond getting to the studio and cooking up a few beats and then get out there and get the, you know, make some club bangers. No. Mm. Music is something, music is therapeutic. It's something that is supposed to connect your listeners to you.
Yeah.
Your listeners should be able to see and they should be able to feel and understand who you are through your music.
Absolutely.
And you can't do that. You can't do that through these heart-based sessions and stuff and all of that. No lyrical content and all of that. You don't do that, you know.
Yeah.
So that is what these guys get to learn from Project Fame. And they get to sing, rehearse every week with a live band. You know, understand music for what it is.
Mm.
But they don't miss their direction.
Yeah. Right? Because after all, I mean, it's a proper craft. It's like a painter. You're telling a story, you know, and the words are your lyrics. So if you don't understand the fundamental principles, the story's not going to be conveyed. Do you have any formal? I mean, I know your family supported you, but do you have any formal vocal training?
Amazingly, not.
Wow,
Rosie, amazingly not. Everything I do today has been self-taught. Nothing. You know, it's just like you waking up and realizing you have this talent and you work on it.
Yeah.
Acting, I never went to any acting school or to be a presenter. I never went to any finishing school. I've not gone to any music school to learn how to sing and all of that. No, everything is just natural and I've just been working on it and building and improving it.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And the state of the Nigerian music scene. I mean, my introduction was, I suppose, 2006, 2007 with Storm Records, with, you know, Nado C, Ikuchukwu, those guys.
Yeah.
And it's really, really, I don't want to use the word transgress, but it's really, really grown. Where is it sitting at the moment? I mean, is it still heavily hip-hop based or have artists now moved into other genres of music?
Well, it's more of a twist. It's a fusion of there's high life, there's Afro beats. You know, it's a popery.
Yeah,
get it right now. What we have, you know, the hip hop is still there, which is still profound, but now it's more of this high life, Afrobeat kind of fusion that they have going on now that has eventually become the Nigerian sound, which is what you hear around clubs and stuff and all of that. A lot of these young fellas who are coming up now, doing that, you know. And then those who are more of the serious, like the deep musicians and those who are like deep into this business, they still do, they're the ones who still branch out to do alternative music and all of this stuff, you know, and all, you know. So, yeah, so right now, the young lads are actually holding ground right now because, hey, the people want club bangers, they want all of these kind of songs they can party and dance to. But in the midst of all of that, these listeners still want real music.
Yeah.
They still learn for real music. And when they see people who are doing real music, they connect with them so well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's growing though. It's growing. It's really growing. It's really growing. Hip hop still has its place, but it's not dominating it totally. You know, because there's hip hop there, but with a tint of high life in it. Like you have the likes of Fino, who is hip hop, but there's this tint of the African thing, the high life thing, sort of, you know, which is related to him being an evil man and stuff and all of that, you know. So yeah, so it's still there.
Yeah, but
hip hop is not actually taking is not predominantly hip hop right now. It's more of the highlights than the foodie thing.
The one thing I've always commended for is the production quality has always been on a high standard.
Yeah.
You know, is it why is that? Is it a lot of artists recording outside of the country, or is that production quality actually happening in Nigeria?
A lot of the production happens in Nigeria.
Beautiful.
Like majority of the productions happen in Nigeria. And of course, they get to take them out for master and mix and stuff. But even the mixing and mastering, a lot of them are done in Nigeria.
Mm.
You know, so a lot of this production quality comes from Nigeria. Amazingly.
That's brilliant.
Amazingly.
Yeah.
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 I want to play one of your favorite artists. So I know when before we did the interview and I asked you who are your favorite ones, you were, you sent through a list.
Okay,
so
no problem.
My first one is do you pronounce it Asha? Aza? ASA?
Asha.
Yeah. What intrigues you about her style of music?
She is so deep. She is she's a lyricist. She's an artist.
Yeah.
Well, she speaks through her music.
Yeah.
That is what intrigues me about her.
Beautiful. Well, don't say anything else. We're going to play her song, Bed of Stones, and then when we come back, let's talk about a little bit more about your acting career.
Keeping it real on CliffCentral.com.
She's been sleeping on a bed of stone. By a window where no light goes, she wakes to the roar of the traffic rumbling outside. Then she remembers a dream and smiles. Yeah, she smiles. On her dress she irons the folds, somewhere mama told her brothers and sisters all the way home, are proud of the way she fights hardship alone home. Some hurt but to let go, some hurt but to die. On her feet from dawn to night, working jobs others don't like. Sometimes she wonders if they know that she's there. The way that they talk to her, look through a stare.
That was the beautiful sounds of Asha and Bed of Stone. For those of you who have just tuned in, I'm speaking to the highly talented Joseph Benjamin from Nigeria, who's an actor, a TV host, a TV presenter, a show host, a singer. What else can you do? I mean, can you also dance? I mean, you also model. God was, I always say when somebody's so talented, I say that God was definitely eating ice cream when he made you, because you're all rounded, baby.
Oh, my word. Okay.
But your acting career, I mean, you've performed in so many amazing films, and I just want to touch on a few of them, and the one was Tango With Me. When did you do that one?
I did Tango With Me in 2000 So it was 2010, I think.
Okay.
I think it was in 2010. Yeah, 2010. I did that with Jen and Ziv Naji. It was a brilliant piece. It was amazing. It was beautiful. Mm-hmm. It was beautiful. Yeah. It was directed and produced by Mahmoud Ali Balogun.
Yeah.
Who is, of course, a veteran in the business, you know, and for me, it was a good launching pad to bring me back into the system, because I left the system, I left acting for a bit, you know, but I was still doing quite a few stuff here and there, I've done quite a few productions and all, but that was one of the biggest that I'd done, like, you know, on my return, you know, and it was a great experience for me. The entire crew were flown in from Hollywood, and we shot on, of course, on film, 35mm. It was the first experience for me shooting a movie on 35mm. It's not like I've been part of TV commercials that were shot on 35mm. Yeah. But for me, it was the first time I was part of a film production that was, you know, that was shot probably on film, and you know, it's like,
isn't that an amazing experience though, from just going from normal type of filming, if you want to call it normal, to you working with these huge magnificent cameras, you know, it's just, you really feel part of the process.
It was honestly priceless. I don't know what this can describe, but I just knew that everything I learned, it was an invaluable experience.
Your favorite actresses, who's your favorite Nigerian actress?
I have quite a few, trust me. I have quite a few. There's Rita Dominic, there's Genevieve Nagy, there's Mercy Johnson, there's Omotola, there's Omonio Bori, there's Mistake Burton. These people I'm calling they stand their ground.
They've also, like you, they've already made their international appeal. I mean, they have.
And honestly, they are. I don't know what I just can't express it. But I just know these women have contributed their own quarter to the growth of the industry, to the growth of the system, and I have a lot of admiration and respect for these women. You know, I have a lot of admiration and respect for them, and there are quite a few movie producers out there who, you know, women, you know, and directors who are actually adding value to the African film industry
Talking about the African film industry, I mean, when people think of the Nigerian side of the film industry, automatically Nollywood comes up. But there's another level of filmmaking also besides from the well-known Nollywood short films that you can buy off the streets here that are shown on channels all around the world. Do you want to give a bit of a brief description about those two different sects? Because when you think about it, the talent and the style of filmmaking of both of the different kinds are very, very different.
Okay, fine. So if I get you right, you're basically trying to hark in and highlight the straight to DVD movies, and the other ones
let's talk about more about the other ones, the ones that are making of the film festivals, the ones that, you know, that are putting you, Genevieve, out on the map, that are winning awards and so forth.
Those ones are, honestly, like I say, those ones are things that I am proud to say yes. But these ones are beginning to gradually, you know, move and push us, put us on the map. You know, a lot of attention is being paid to details. And, of course, these things are not usually small budget. They're not usually small budget movies and stuff. And, of course, if you look through the crop of directors and producers who are involved in this thing, these are people who are veterans. You know, they're people who have understood the business. They understand what the demands are. And they know that, of course, that there's a certain standard that needs to be met. There's a certain standard that it needs to be pushed forth, and that's what they have decided to come up with. And that's why every time they bring forth productions, they constantly make their mark, you know. And even though that we've been plagued with distribution, which has been the greatest challenge for filmmaking in Africa, you know, but they still thrive. They've been thriving through it. You understand? And of course now, there's a certain, we can heave a sigh of relief now seeing that Netflix has finally launched in Africa, which is basically it's a breath of fresh air, you know. So now it's going to help tackle distribution for filmmakers in Africa, you know. And so I applaud these people who have held their own even in the midst of all of the struggles and the difficulties in being able to, you know, to push forth your product here in the system, you understand? Because our people are just gradually embracing the cinema culture, and then gradually embracing African content, you know. Because seeing that, look, we're beginning to get things right. You know, so I applaud all these people, and me having been a part of some of these productions, it's something that I cherish. It's something I'll hold dear to my heart any day, any time, because I know these things have helped push forth my brand. They've helped push forth the brands of all of these amazing people. And at the end of the day, it is pretty much to put Africa on the map.
Yeah, and also it's pretty cool and intriguing, because in the next couple of years, when people look back at the history of where it started, you were part of the movement. So that is exciting in itself.
Yes, my dear. Yes.
Your ultimate roles. What are your ultimate roles? Who do you want to play besides James Bond? I see you playing James Bond one day.
I'm just putting that out there.
We need an African James Bond.
Awesome, Rosie. Thank you for getting on that train as well. Awesome. Well, for me, that'll be the ultimate role, Rosie. Mm-hmm. That'll be the ultimate role, and I heard recently 24 is coming back to our screens, but mm-hmm. Jack Bauer is not going to be saving the world. So I'm wondering what is happening over there. That is one ground one wants to fit into someday, sometime, or being a part of some of this successful series that I've been on ground for now. But nothing comes close to being the African James Bond.
Yeah. Well, we're putting it out there. It's going to happen. I can feel it.
It's going to happen. Oh, awesome. Amen to that. It's going to happen.
And I forgot to ask you, in terms of your singing, have any thoughts of actually just recording your own album at any point?
That is in the works. Mm-hmm. So, you'll be the first to put it out. You'll be the first to know. So that is in the work.
Yeah.
It is definitely in the work. So that is a huge part of me. That is something I'm so passionate about. Mm. And, of course, definitely, the people get to connect to you, like I said, get to connect to you through your music. And it's in the work. It's out there.
Yeah.
It's in the work.
Absolutely. And moving away from the industry, charities, do you support any causes or any charities, whether it's local, at home, international?
Well, local. And I'm someone who's not very given to, I'm not someone who's very given to talking about stuff I do and stuff. I just believe that, let me just support what I need to support, and whatever needs to come forth as a blessing comes forth in its own. I would not need to talk about it I'm supporting this chair, but at least I'm doing quite a few locally and stuff, putting a smile on a lot of faces, and I just usually like to keep it that way. I don't usually like to publicize it or talk about it. Just me.
In your opinion, what are the most pressing socioeconomic problems or issues that we're facing as a continent?
Well, honestly, Rosie, we can go on and on. We can go on and on. I just wanted to talk about what has become like a broken record right now, corruption.
Mm.
Corruption, it's like a broken record. It's something that is a worldwide epidemic.
Mm.
It's a worldwide epidemic, but for us, it's messing up our entire system, our structures. It's messing up the entire productivity of nations in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? People have become so lackadaisical. People have decided to, be so greedy and selfish, forgetting the general populace they're forgetting the fact that, whatever it is, it's like, whatever you do has a ripple effect.
Yeah.
You understand? It has a ripple effect. Because if you feel you're guarding yourself today, the ripple effect will eventually touch, if not you immediately, will touch someone who's close to you. And when it touches someone who's close to you, it'll get to you. Because I'm trying as much as possible to be very, 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 very discreet with answering this particular question. You understand?
Yeah.
In a bit, not to sound very political or something in a sense. That's why I'm answering it this way. You understand? But
yeah.
At the long run, honestly, Rosie, our leaders in Africa, our leaders need to get it right.
Yeah.
Our leaders need to get it right, because it is messing us up. It is messing us up so badly, Rosie, that everything around the system is affected by it.
Yeah. And also because I go about synergies that are happening on a global aspect. You know, if we don't fix this now, we're going to be losing out on so many opportunities. And also rising up as the strong force that we are. But you know what I mean? It's just these things. And I hear you, and I appreciate your diplomacy on addressing the issue. But I think I think it's every nation. It's not just your nation. It's every nation across Africa. You know, that we need to tackle and we need to talk about these issues and we need to speak up about it.
Yes, we do. We do, Rosie, or else it's just gonna drown the entire system.
Yeah.
It'll just drown the entire system. And then the international community, the Western world, will hop in and cash in on it. Because that is what we always do.
Mm.
Get it? You understand?
It's just gonna be a repeat of history again, yeah.
Yes, it would be so. Because that's what they always look for, so cashing in on our inability to be united, our inability to stand and tackle these things. You understand? It was just, like you said, it would be a repeat of history again.
Mm. Absolutely.
Yes.
But we're not going to allow that to happen. We're going to push our brands.
No.
We're going to tell our stories. We're going to transcend from across, from every corner of the globe.
Every corner of the globe, so that they'll hear it from our own. They'll hear it from our own way. They'll see it interpreted the way it should be interpreted, and they'll hear the stories the way they're supposed to be told.
Yes,
not what the people out there say.
Yeah.
Not the way they represent us. We represent ourselves the way we're supposed to be represented. I'll bring forth our stories the way they should be brought forth.
Amen. Joseph, it has been an absolute pleasure speaking to you. Obviously, you'll be pushing your brand, letting the rest of my listeners know of your every move. God willing, we're going to get you. We're going to get you to SA sometime this year, God willing, by June.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for your time. Keep on shining.
Thank you.
Rock, whatever you're doing in London. And we look forward to promoting that CD of yours.
Awesome stuff. Awesome stuff. Thank you so much.
Beautiful. Thanks so much for your time, darling. Have a beautiful day. That was Mr. Joseph Benjamin from Nigeria. If you want to find out a little bit more about him, you can hit me up on Twitter at PrincessRTM. Also, he's following the Twitter handle at Waka Agency. So if you want bookings, find out what he's doing, want to get other interviews, find out where he's taking his career over the next couple of months. I can assure you it's going to be really, really exciting. Couple of TV shows coming up, more acting. And of course, as he said, he's working on that CD. So we'll definitely keep you informed about what's happening there. That brings to an end to the show. If you have any comments, please drop us a line. We're on WeChat. The number's 0861-555-189. As I said, I'm on Twitter as well as PrincessRTM. Next week, we're going to be looking at beauty across the African continent and speaking to a wonderful Pan-Africanist woman who's came to South Africa and has opened an amazing spa. So she's going to be in studio talking about that and how difficult it's been for her as a non-South African black woman coming in and running a successful business. So as always, it's always keeping within the interest of what's happening on the continent, highlighting and promoting the beauty, the importance, and the pride of what Africa is all about. Thank you so much for listening. Tune in next week, same time, same place. And of course, my name is Rosie Mathena, a.k.a. Afro-Yiddish Princess. Thanks.
Pan-African Connect on CliffCentral.com.
This is CliffCentral.com.